JM in the AM Sphere of Format Wednesday here at JM in the AM. And thanks so much for joining us, everybody. And I told you that we have a special guest who's going to be joining us here in the 7 o'clock hour. And anybody who is even an occasional listener of this broadcast over the last few years knows that one of our favorite guests is Ambassador Danny Danone. The brand new book is entitled In the Lion's Den, Israel and the World. The foreword is done by Nikki Haley, former governor of South Carolina and former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. And Danny Danone has written this book. It's fascinating. It's a fascinating read, a real insider's view of so much that's going on. And we get an opportunity to ask him about those years that he writes about and about what's happening in Israel today. And there are a lot of questions about what's going on in Israel today. Danny Danone served as Israel's 17th permanent representative to the United Nations. We know it as the ambassador of Israel to the UN and currently serves as chairman of the World Likud. He is author of the brand new book, In the Lion's Den, Israel and the World. Mr. Ambassador, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
Great to speak with you again, Nahum.
Congratulations on the book. It's really a fascinating read. I hope everybody out there gets it and enjoys it as much as I have. Why'd you write the book? Why did you take the opportunity to tell this amazing story at this time?
And now, after 5 very long years at the UN, I felt that I have to tell the story, what really happened behind the scenes, who was supporting Israel, who was fighting against us, and to learn the lesson for the future about advocacy, about taking a stand for Israel. And that's why I took the time and effort to continue with the efforts for showing the real face of Israel. As you mentioned, you know, in the book I reveal many behind-the-scenes moments. You know, when you deal with world leaders and you walk with them, there are a lot of things that you can learn. And also, you know, I was honored to take part in very important moments, whether it's moving the embassy to Jerusalem, the Abraham Accords. So I tell the stories, what really happened in order to achieve those great, great victories.
You're also in the UN for one of the most difficult moments for a representative of Israel to the UN, which we'll discuss in a few minutes. What's it like being in an institution like that, an institution that many of us, you know, wonder why it even needs to exist, and an institution that you know, spends a lot of time criticizing Israel? It can't feel very neighborly. It can't feel very welcome. It can't be a very welcome feeling walking the halls of the UN advocating for Israel. What is that experience like?
Well, you know, I picked the title in the Lion's Den. You know, Daniel in the Bible spent one night in the Lion's Den, right. And I spent 5 years. indeed, you know, there were very hard moments. You know, I always will remember the day where I was in the Security Council by myself when President Obama pushed a resolution before he left office to condemn Israel. You know, that was the hardest moment in my public life. But I realized that we will prevail, and we did. That's what happened. And for me, it was very important to tell the story about what really happened regarding that revolution. You know, for the sake of truth and history, I think it's important that people will understand what happened. It wasn't an easy moment for Israel, but look where we are today.
And Ambassador Danny Danone is with us. The book is called In the Lion's Den. And one of the reasons it was such a difficult moment is because it was unprecedented, right? There was never a time that the U.S. would not utilize its veto power for a resolution like that, correct?
Well, you know, I was used to fight the Palestinians, the EU, the UN institutions, but there I was fighting also the U.S., not the ally of Israel. So that was very hard for me. And also the way it was done, not only the language of the revolution, but that they actually worked behind the scenes. So what I did, you know, minute after the revolution passed, I exposed the administration, and I told the story about their involvement in drafting the resolution and securing the vote for that resolution.
You must have felt to a degree that you didn't have much to lose in that situation, because the relationship in general between the Obama administration and the Israeli administration and those who advocate for Israel was so tenuous at that time. Did you feel that you sort of had nothing to lose, and you may as well just, you know, put all the information out there for everybody to know?
Actually, on the contrary, you know, I reveal in the book that we did good things with the Ambassador Samantha Powell at the UN.
Right.
And before the vote, I told her, Samantha, nobody will remember what we did here. You know, people will remember the legacy of your service at the UN will be this shameful revolution. And that's exactly what happened. You know? But we, before we were able to work together, you know, you cannot compare between the time when Ambassador Haley stepped in. That was much easier for us. You know, we did a lot of things. We played offense. We passed resolutions. I think it was a great part of the history of Israel at the UN. But also with Samantha Power, we were able to achieve a lot.
Not that the book is completely about her, although I was really impressed by her foreword, frankly. What is it about Nikki Haley? Why is it that she has such an affinity toward Israel and the Jewish people?
She's a great friend, and I'm sure she will continue to support us in her future positions. You know, when she came to the UN, she loved Israel, but she's never been to Israel. So I took her to Israel, and the minute she came, you know, she fell in love with the people. She learned so much about the challenges. Immediately when we came back to New York, we started to fight against the lies and to change what's happening at the UN. And we were very successful because we had no fear and we cooperated and we proved that we can win, even in a hostile place like the UN. For example, Nahum, we put a resolution on the floor to condemn Hamas in the General Assembly.
Right. That
was a great moment for us. And every time we agreed that we cannot, you know, take out the anti-Israel resolution, but can we add other things to the agenda.
You know, you write about Israel being on the offensive and Israel, you know, fighting the battle alone if it needs to. You write as a proud Jew, frankly, and as a proud Israeli in terms of how you think that they should approach, how Israel should approach the world. With that in mind, in your opinion, is the UN necessary? Is the, you know, for those of us who wonder if there's a legitimacy to the organization and whether it needs to exist, would we be better off, would the state of Israel be better off if such a body would not be around?
I think you want to have the UN around, but you want the UN to focus on its original causes. It's not happening today, but you know they can support a lot of humanitarian crisis. They can promote dialogue between nations. A lot of things they can deal with. It's not happening because, unfortunately, you know, you have bad actors that kidnap the UN and take it to the wrong place. So I would say, yes, we want the UN, but not the way it's acting today.
I mean, some of the things, when you see who's on the Human Rights Council, when you see which countries are you know, given a pass when it comes to international episodes, I mean, you know, Russia and Ukraine is a good example. And then, of course, when we see the contrast of how Israel is treated and how there's a moral equivalence given to, quote-unquote, both sides, there may not be a place, outside of the media, there may not be a place that gives more equivalence and balance to the situation between Israel and the PA, excuse me, or Israel and terrorists, more than the UN. It's got to be a very frustrating feeling when you're always behind the eight ball, so to speak, in a forum like that.
Indeed, in the book, you know, in the Lion's Den, I give a lot of advice and tools for people who advocate for Israel, how to deal with the hostile environment. You know, I want a student to go to a university to know that he can actually make a change. So, you know, one of the things I explained about, you know, using facts, you know, and that's what I did. You know, I brought a lot of information into the discussions. And, you know, those who are anti-Israel, they don't care about the facts. But the majority of the players, they are not knowledgeable. So once I presented intelligence material that I brought from the IDF, I could actually change the narrative.
You know,
so it's a marathon. You have to wake up every morning to continue with this fight.
Now, I hear that, but you know that the college campuses have gotten even worse in the short time that you've, you know, since you've been at the UN. In the last couple of years, it's gotten much more difficult for those who advocate for Israel to exist peacefully on college campuses.
I know that, and I think we have to continue to empower them. And I think that, you know, whoever fights for Israel, at the end of the day, he gets the benefit of becoming a stronger advocate, a stronger leader, a stronger citizen. So the book also deals a lot with advocacy. You know, I tell my story how I started my public service at a very young age, and how it gave me the strength to get to the government, to the Knesset, and eventually also to the UN, and to to get to very important positions at the UN. I got elected to become the first Israeli to chair a UN committee against all odds. Right. So I think even if you are a campus student and you think whether you should get engaged or not, if you do it, you know, you don't do it only for Israel or the Jewish people, you're also building your own character.
The Ambassador Danny Danone is with us. The book is called In the Lion's Den, Israel and the World, a foreword by Nikki Haley. Great book. It's a Wicked Sun publication. I'm sure it's on Amazon and everywhere else where you buy your books, everybody. I'm highly recommending it. In the Lion's Den, Israel and the World. The author is Danny Danone. All right, you mentioned the Knesset. I can't resist but ask you about some of the things that are going on today. What are your thoughts as you see a very delicate and soft coalition continue to exist in Israel, even though the coalition lost what would have to be called a key member, because that was the 61st person in the coalition who resigned. And in addition to that, the coalition is has been formed and continues to exist with Arab representation. What are your thoughts about this very, very shaky, what seems to be shaky coalition in Jerusalem?
Well, I think the coalition is a tool to govern. And unfortunately, I don't think today we have law and order in the streets of Israel. People are terrified because of the last wave of terror. And unfortunately, the government is not capable of restoring the deterrence. You know, with the Arab party in coalition, it's very hard. You know, I was in Jerusalem in Passover, and almost every day you had riots on Temple Mount. And I asked myself, why the police is not actually taking the actions they should. And the answer was, Nahum, because, you know, you have this Arab party, Ram, in the coalition, and any minute, any MK can vote against the coalition. So it's impossible, you know, and I hope, you know, for the sake of the future of Israel, that there will be a new government, either within this Knesset, or unfortunately, we will have to go for another election and to form a new government.
But as long as these numbers continue to, you know, to be relatively equal on, you know, on both or multiple sides, depending on how you look at it, meaning if government is being formed in Israel, and we've seen this now so many times in the last few years, with 60, 61, 62 votes or mandates, and some of those mandates are either questionable or weak. Again, you know, the Arab party is one example of that. Is it even possible to move forward with a strong government? And is it only a strong government that could prevent these terror waves? Because you have to remember, we've had strong governments in the past, and we've still had terror waves that were unable to be controlled. Is that the first step to try to control them?
Well, I think, you know, we have to take action. I agree with you about the past that, you know, also when we were in power, the Likud, we didn't do enough. But now, when I see Mansour Abbas and his colleagues, you know, when they threaten the government, you know, take for example, when the issue of Al-Habayit again, they announce that they will not take part in any votes in the coalition. So I think it's very hard for this current government to take the necessary actions. I hope they will. They have to, they should do, but if they cannot govern, they cannot secure what's happening, I think they should themselves declare elections and allow the party to decide how to continue.
Yeah, I hear that. As you watch, let me ask you this. As you watch what's happening with Russia and the Ukraine, I wonder if you pine for the days at the UN, and if you wonder how things would be, and if you wonder, you know, what it would be like to be a the ambassador during this time. I am getting the feeling that Israel is taking risks in exposing who they would prefer to be winning the Russia-Ukraine war. Do you think that Israel should have played down their role in that conflict a little bit more than they have?
I think in general we made mistakes. You know, we should have spoken less and do more and support the Ukrainian people and send them more humanitarian help than we did. Unfortunately, we spoke too much. You know, Prime Minister Bennett flew to Moscow on a Shabbat. It was a big dramatic moment, trying to actually negotiate. And we made too many headlines by the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Lapid, with inexperience about those issues. So I think that those were mistake done. I think what we should do is play low-key. You know, we voted against Russia at the UN. That was the right moral decision. Right. But we should support the Ukrainian people without creating international headlines.
What do you think of the statements by the foreign minister of Russia?
I was shocked. I know Mr. Lavrov, I met him many times. He's very intelligent. He knows the history. He knows better. I was shocked to hear about the, equation to the Holocaust, naming Hitler as a Jew, outrageous.
And what do you think in general of Zelensky's leadership? Are you shocked by what he's been able to galvanize over there in the Ukraine?
I know the Ukrainian people, they are very strong people, very proud, and I think that they prove that, things change in the world. When you think about the past, about, Russia, today you have a different reality in many, many places around the world, and not many people are aware of that. So I think it's not only Ukraine, you have other players in the former Soviet Union who became independent, and today they are very strong and proud nations.
You serve as chairman of World Likud. Is the Likud party a strong party right now? How would you describe it?
Yes, I think not only the Likud is strong. We know that the national camp is getting stronger. We do polls and we see that, we have a lot of support. But unfortunately, today we are not in power. So I think we need to find a way to take the support we have in the public and actually transform it into the ability to form a government. That will be the challenge of the Likud in the new elections.
And if it happened today, if there was an election today, what you just described would happen or would not happen?
Well, I know that we will get a lot of votes. So the Likud will become stronger than today. For sure will be the largest party in the Knesset. But still, I think it's going to be challenging to form a coalition. We know that you have some political actors who are not willing to work with former Prime Minister Netanyahu. So that will still be a challenge.
Yeah, it's interesting to watch how the Prime Minister, or the former Prime Minister Netanyahu, continues to attract a lot of attention. It seems he still has a lot of power. And that he's, I guess, essentially the man to beat, right? I mean, it's amazing to watch. He has served longer or more days than any other prime minister in the history of the state of Israel, and he doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
Yeah, he's very determined. You have to remember that also he's in court now almost right. Every day, fighting 3 indictments. But he's a strong leader, and I hope that we'll be in a position to go back to power.
Ambassador Danny Danone, the book is called In the Lion's Den, Israel and the World. Get it, everybody. It's a really amazing inside look at the United Nations, and Ambassador Danone's very positive discussion in the book about advocacy and fighting for Israel and being proud to be Jewish and to be representing Israel. It's really a very important work. You see what's happening here in the United States. In fact, I was always amazed, frankly, knowing your background, about just how familiar you were and how well you fit in to the New York scene. Because on paper, based on your background, it may have been very difficult for someone like yourself to fit into the big city New York scene. And it seems you did it really well. So you're really familiar with what's going on in this city and in this country. If someone were to ask you about the future of the Jewish community in the United States, what approach would you use? Would you tell people the future of the Jewish people is exclusively in the state of Israel? Would you tell them there is hope in this country? You've seen what's happened over the last few years, and you see the attitude toward the Jewish community, both on a micro level and a macro level. What would you tell people about the Jewish community in the United States?
So, I was honored and I had the privilege to live with my family for 5 years in the city of New York, getting to know the Jewish communities. I was very involved in the past, but it's different when you send two kids to a Jewish school or they go to Jewish summer camps and you learn about the strength of the community. So I'm also optimistic about the future of the Jewish communities. One thing I think we should work harder is strengthen the connection between, the next generation, Israelis and American Jews who live here. And make it a stronger connection. I look at my kids, they have friends now from all over the U.S. and Canada. I'm proud of that. I think it's a great thing for them. And I wish that we can expose more kids, both in Israel and here in the U.S., to one each other in order for them to make friends and understand that we have a future, and we have to work on this future together.
Well, if we have a future here in the United States, it's only because we have a strong Israel. That's always been my opinion and my perspective on this. And that's another reason why a strong Israel is so vital and important. By the way, in your tenure as UN ambassador, ambassador of Israel to the United Nations, did you gain a great appreciation for people like Abba Eben and Senator Moynihan?
Absolutely. No, I learned a lot about them, and I got the inspiration for my speeches many times from them. And I think you realize that, to build what we built in short 74 years, each one of us is doing his part. So, yes. When I decided to bring Jewish tradition and the Bible into the discussion at the UN, that was something new. And I thought to myself, it's not only important for this moment, because the future people will watch those speeches. One of the speeches was the Bible speech, which I speak about it at the book. I wrote about it.
Yep.
It became viral because they put a yarmulke and I read from the Bible about the rights of to the land. And my colleagues in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs were shocked. They told me, Danny, we don't bring religion into diplomacy. And I told them, that's your approach. My approach is we have to start with the basic rights, and then we can speak about legal rights and international rights.
One of the reasons it's so great to read this book, Ambassador Danone, is because of how proud you made us with moments like you just described, which are historic moments that many will talk about for generations, and for the way you represented us in the United Nations and the way you represent us in general. And all that is greatly appreciated, as you know. Congratulations on the book. I assume it's available everywhere, right, at this point?
Yeah, it's already number one on Amazon bestseller list, and I'm sure people will be excited to read it, and it came out yesterday, and I'm sure people will enjoy the read.
Hey, how happy are you to hear that the parade is back in New York City this coming Sunday after 3 years?
That's great. I was very happy to see you as an integral part of the parade, Nahum.
I appreciate that very much. We hope to be there again this Sunday. A little rusty, of course. It's been 3 years, but please God, we'll be on Fifth Avenue. Ambassador Danone, mazal tov on the book. Thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate
all
the
time. Thank you very much, Nahum. Bye-bye.
Continued success, and thanks for joining us. There he is, Ambassador Danny Danone. The book is called In the Lion's Den, Israel and the World. It's a good one. It's really a good one. If you appreciate modern Jewish history, you'll love the book. It's America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program. Heard on listeners sponsored digital radio around the world, the web at NahumSiegel.com, on the Nahum Siegel Network, and of course on the beloved NSN app.